Here we are with Joe Courtney, our wonderful 2nd District Connecticut friend in the Congressional Corner. I want to ask you this, Joe. What should Biden do when he gets to be president?
So, I think he obviously has the power of executive orders that kicks in on day one. And I think there is a long queue of executive orders that he can put into place that I think will, be very positive for the start of his presidency. One real quick little point is that the COVID relief bill that, emerged from the negotiations did not extend student loan forbearance, which runs out on January 31st. Again, that's the provision of, the Pandemic and CARES Act, where basically we said to young people, you're not going to get penalized for not making your payments for a period of time. But that runs out on January 31st. That's obviously not a permanent solution to the student loan crisis. But on January 31st, these borrowers should not be forced to start, paying out money when many of them don't have jobs or have, other pressing priorities. So, there's a perfect example, stroke of a pen. Biden can push that out well into 2021, which the HEROES Act, by the way, did do when we passed it in the House. Paris Climate Change Agreement, the methane emissions rule, fuel efficiency standards, these are climate change provisions that Trump foisted on the country by executive order. Again, with stroke of a pen, he can, reverse, these really destructive, harmful policies. So, I think obviously his cabinet appointments, which I would give him high marks on, I think also are going to be a breath of fresh air. Connecticut was very excited to see our Commissioner of Education, Miguel Cardona, nominated for Secretary of Education. He is the anti-DeVos. This is a guy who grew up in public housing, English as a second language learner, Latino, who has been in a classroom in public schools, fourth grade teacher, principal of the year, moved his way up through the ranks, totally solid guy, committed to public education, and really understands things like Pell Grant because he lived it, in terms of his own experience. And so I think that that is also, I think, going to be a very positive message. Dealing with Congress, we still got to wait to see how the shoe drops in Georgia, because that really is going to be a pretty pivotal moment in terms of who has the gavel in the Senate. But I still think that, if there's anybody who can sort of restore some level of comity, it's Joe Biden. I mean, it's his whole life. But it's not going to be easy. And I don't want to sound, Pollyannish. I mean, this guy is still dealing with a very polarized country and a very polarized, Congress. And obviously, the reduction of the House majority makes the challenge of finding the sweet spot for budgets and legislation even smaller. And so I really want Democrats to understand that point. And I have my own, list of bills that I'm, straining at the leash to get out there. But I realize, you just can't expect them all to sort of, get in the queue, get in the buffet line, first. We got to really build up, the political strength of this new administration. That's got to be our priority.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the pardons, Joe Courtney. They're pretty disgraceful. Some obviously very, very guilty friends of the president get pardoned. Is there any way around this? People are writing me, they're asking me, isn't there some way we can stop them? And I keep saying the only one that I can think of is impeachment, and it's a little late for that.
Well, yeah, I first of all, this is a guy who got elected to drain the swamp. I mean, this is, just filling the swamp. And, seeing two of my colleagues who were convicted in federal court through the whole, having all the due process rights and high paid legal counsel basically walk away scot-free. I mean, you want to talk about adding to the sort of cynicism about Washington and, two levels of justice, the Blackwater folks who were convicted of homicide, owned by the brother-in-law of Betsy DeVos. I mean, it's just, it really is nauseating. Constitutionally, the pardon power is a sweeping one, and it's been totally, completely abused. There's a lot of speculation that William Barr left the Justice Department with 37 days or whatever it was to go, because he just did not want to be part of this, and which is a pretty sort of low bar in terms of, you know, his own, you know, adherence to Trump. But and frankly, I don't think this is the final batch that we're going to see in the next, you know, month or so. We just got to get through it.
What do you think of Biden's choice of General Lloyd Austin to run the Defense Department? I say that because your district, that second district, is responsible for building submarines and other things. What do you think?
Right. So I've met him a few times. I actually was over in Iraq on a CODEL a number of years ago. You know, this guy obviously has just, you know, definitely earned his stripes, literally, in terms of 40 years in the service. You know, a black officer who, you know, is reached the pinnacle, you know, in terms of his own service, and obviously has a very close relationship to Joe Biden. His son, Bo, when he was serving in Iraq, used to attend Sunday mass with General Austin. They sat together in church. And so, you know, that kind of relationship is, you know, is at a level that you and I can only, you know, try to imagine. The law that was put into place when the Department of Defense was created for a 7-year waiting period for former military is one that I support. It was waived in the case of Mattis, which I wasn't too thrilled about, and I wasn't too thrilled about the way they drafted the language back then. But it's one thing that we are hoping in the House Armed Services Committee is that he will come over and meet with us before a vote, which the Trump transition team and Mattis refused to do back in 2017, you know, which was kind of a, you know, our first taste of the contempt that the administration had towards Congress as a co-equal branch. So, you know, my prediction is he's going to make it through. I hope, again, that it's done in a more respectful way to Congress. He needs to have that relationship. You know, you look at Article 1, Section 8, the power to raise an army and to provide and maintain for a Navy is in the Article 1 congressional branch of government. And as chairman of Sea Power, and, you know, a lot going on with the Navy, you know, he's an army guy. You know, we obviously want to have questions posed to him about, you know, what he sees in the future. And but he's a good person. I mean, he really is a good person. And I actually think he plays by the rules. This is a guy who is not, you know, he had some questions during the Obama years about the withdrawal from Iraq while ISIS was on the rise. He made his points. He did it internally. And, you know, he saluted and took orders from the civilian commander in chief. And, you know, I think that gives you a flavor. I do think he really respects the fact that, you know, under our system of government, it's civilian control of the military. But it's going to be a bumpy ride. I mean, there's just no question that there's a legitimate issue here, which, you know, we've got to deal with.
Joe Courtney, I hope, and we, first of all, we appreciate your being on. We know that your recuperation from COVID has gotten to be really good. We thank your wife, your wonderful nurse practitioner wife, for keeping you in line and not letting you do anything stupid. Like recording this program, which taxes you, I know, but we're delighted to have had you, and we really appreciate your being with us.
Well, thank you. Warmest wishes to you and all your listeners, and look forward to 2021, the big pivot where, you know, the life gets better.
We can only hope. Thanks again, my friend.
All right, Alan. Take care.